everybody. Welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry. I am your host, Michelle Jackson, and I am kind of cracking up about today's podcast episode. You're probably like, wow, that's an interesting topic, but I think that it's an important one, and I wanted to kind of dive deep into it before we went any further into the year, because it might be helpful to those of you who are trying to figure out what you want to do as entrepreneurs, or maybe you want to do a pivot, maybe you want to experiment with things. And I thought, you know what? I think that this is a good time for this. So this episode, I'm talking about how writing romance novels have changed my personal finance business. Seems like neither one should be connecting in any kind of way, but there has been a bizarrely interesting, hilarious synergy that has come together because of my romance book writing. I should also note that I write nonfiction. So I don't just write romances, I write nonfiction. And I actually have a number of books that will be rolling out in the next 12 months. I've actually figured out what books I want to put out there. I have an editorial calendar, all the things. But quite honestly, everything didn't kick off until I wrote that first book, that romance book. I actually had a book about Colorado that had been selling before. And I really loved that money, even though it was like little amounts, but there was something about it that really excited me. I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I don't have to answer all these questions about Denver and Colorado, and they can just buy the book. And so I'd written another book, but I wasn't strategizing books in the way that I do now. So we're going to talk about this. When I typed the title of this podcast, I'm going to be honest, I did giggle a little bit. Never in a million years did I expect an unexpected side project to building the personal finance brand that I've been working on for so long. I don't know that I ever thought that the side interest would affect my brand and my wallet in the way that it has. I currently call myself a digital content creator versus a blogger and podcaster. And basically the reason why, and I feel like that's a whole nother podcast, but anyway, the reason why is because I create written content, podcast events, and run a course. The past year has been incredibly challenging, both personally and professionally, and I am forever thankful, honestly, to that first smutty novel that I wrote last summer, because it's really changed my personal finance business forever. So we're going to get into it. Before we get started with this show, I would like to just say this show is sponsored by the following: the Money on the Mountain Financial Retreat for Financially Single Women. It will be held in Denver, Colorado this October 4th through the 6th. It is coming up. Get your tickets now. Go to the link, michelleismoneyhungry.com/retreat, to go ahead and get information on that and check it out. Or you can text Money on the Mountain to the number 44222 to get on the list and stay in the loop. Two resources that I want you to know about before we go in any further. Three things about self-publishing you need to know. That is a toolkit that I've put together. It includes videos and just a lot of answers to the frequently asked questions that I'm asked about in regards to writing books and self-publishing. So I highly recommend getting that. You can text the following phrase, three things, that's T-H-R-E-E, things, to extension 44222, and you'll get signed up and will receive that toolkit. So definitely check that out. Or you can check out Do It Ugly, which is also another free course. And that one is all about getting started where you're at, whether you'd like to start a blog, a vlog, a podcast, whatever it is. It's a toolkit to help you get started with that. Again, you can just go to the show notes to get access to that. In order to go to the show notes, go to the following URL, michelleismoneyhungry.com/changed-my-personal-finance-business. It's kind of long. Again, that's michelleismoneyhungry.com/changed-my-personal-finance-business. Okay, let's get into it. It's really funny because actually 2017 is really where I need to start in terms of talking about what happened in 2018. So I kind of talked about this in a previous episode. Like I've touched on a couple of these themes in previous episodes, but I want to kind of say more, basically. So in 2017, I was all pissed off because I went to FinCon, which ironically is happening right now as I'm recording this episode. FinCon is a huge conference for people who market content in the personal finance space. It is not a personal finance conference in my view because we're not doing sessions about money. We're doing sessions about marketing. Anywho, I went to that event and I had an amazing time. I always have an amazing time there, just meeting amazing people. I feel like I may have spoken on a panel. Anyway, it was a good time, but I just kept feeling like I'm so mad because I'm not where I want to be. I'd paid off thousands of dollars in debt. I wasn't really quite sure how much. At this point, I know that I've paid off a minimum of $56,000. I'm still trying to figure it all out. I had things kind of coming together, but not. Like things were slightly gelling together, but not. And I just felt like I didn't want to return to FinCon until I felt like I had hit the milestones that I was really setting for myself, like the professional milestones. And ironically, I'm not there this year. I actually feel like I'm a prophet, and that is still the case. Like I still feel like there are professional milestones and personal ones that I'm trying to hit before I return. And I will say I'm much closer now than I was before, but in 2017, I was just like, God, I'm spinning my wheels. Like I'm so frustrated and nothing's coming together. And I've been in these awesome masterminds and everyone else is just killing it. And I'm just like, I've got kind of name recognition and people think I'm nice, but that wasn't paying the bills, to be perfectly blunt. And it just was frustrating. I was like, this isn't what I quit my job for. It was hard. And honestly, people need to talk about that more. I feel like I've heard stories from people who've gone into digital entrepreneurship. And I think the further they get away from the hard times, the easier it is for them to forget how hard those times were. But yeah, it was just hard. I was just like, I'm trying to pay things off and I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to figure out everything out. And my brain energy was just spent. And actually, in a previous episode, I talked about capacity. I really was struggling with having the capacity to focus on the things that I wanted to do in my business. And honestly, that's another podcast episode, like how to manage paying off debt when you're in business and when you're trying to figure out what is the best mix for you, especially digital business, because there's so many options. I was just frustrated. And so I just was like, you know what? I'm staying home. I'm not traveling. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to focus on what I need to focus on and just do the best that I can from home. That was a wonderful decision. That was a brilliant decision because then by saying I'm not going anywhere, it really allowed me to take the time to develop products, goods, and services and to experiment without feeling pressure, basically. And so what I did was that I decided to experiment and try out a few things. And in 2018, like during the year, I did a couple of things. So the first thing was I wrote a romance book and launched what is now my pen name, which is Autumn Stone. It is in a very specific romance genre, which is multicultural and interracial romance, even though I will be writing African-American romances as well. And I do write romances that feature white couples. So by the way, I do have a book that does pretty nicely with a white couple. So basically, I don't care what the love is, as long as I get paid and people enjoy the story. So, but I picked that genre in particular because I'd read a really interesting blog post on Michelle Schroeder Gardner's blog, Making Sense of Sense, a woman who had been making money writing these ebooks. Basically, one day she was like, you know, I'm going to write this interracial romance too. She was African American, and she wrote this book after writing all these other books in a slightly different romance genre featuring African American couples. And she found that it was just very lucrative. So that was literally the only reason why I started writing in that genre was I'd read this blog post and I was like, huh, that sounds interesting. I've dated white guys before. Like, it's not like complicated. And so I wrote this book and it was pretty well received. And I was just like, wow, that's kind of freaking awesome. In 2018, I also kind of dabbled in the idea of coaching, but I didn't enjoy it at the time. Now, actually, I'm a lot more excited about it and open to it because my passive income is building. For some reason, I always wanted passive income. Like, it was the thing that got me super excited about blogging, to be honest. Like, I had all these friends making tons of money from their blogs and making passive income. And I was just like, why can't I figure this out? So that was just my like thing that I was trying to do. It was like, I don't care how I get it, as long as I make it in some sort of way. I built out a course in 2018. I start focusing on affiliate income, and all those things had varying degrees of success. The thing was, the romance book just sparked my imagination for several reasons. I earned money so quickly with it. Like, it was very successful for a first-time book, which I know now. Like, it was very successful. I made $540 the first month I published a book. I've come to find out after being in other book groups and things like that, there are people who will have books out for a year and they make nothing, like literally $0, like no cents, no nothing. I had some expertise that I didn't realize I had because of the blogging. Like, I understood SEO, I understood marketing, I understood writing compelling copy for the book. And so I did things the right way the first time without realizing I was doing things the right way. That was kind of what happened. Then that first month when I wrote the book, I was like, I'm going to build out a course. And that was crazy, but it was a really smart idea. And so these decisions ultimately changed my actual personal finance, business, and brand. And I want to share some observations about these decisions that will help you as well. Like, what can you learn from what I did so that you can apply it to what you're doing, especially if you're kind of spinning your wheels, which was what I was doing. So my first observation is, if you're thinking about creating a product, do it. Now, you do want to spend some time trying to figure out, like, is this product, you want to validate the product. You want to make sure that there's a level of viability to it so that you don't go further into building it out and then you're like, this sucks, no one's buying it. What that means is you're going to have to test out your concept or theory that this is something that people need. And so in order to do that, you're going to have to know a couple of things. Who you want to sell your product to, what problem you're trying to solve. So you can't just build out a product. That would be insane. Don't do that. That's a waste of your time. But what you can do is test out the idea that you have, and then that way you can begin building it out and pre-selling it. That is what I did. I actually ran a webinar, and when I did the webinar, I told them, I was like, I'm still building this course out. Like, I literally said this, it's not done that you tell people that you're not done making the course, but for some reason I just blurted it out and they were like, that's okay. And they kept buying it. So I was onto something. You need to start building out your products now and testing them, because it's going to take about a year for it to really come together. It's going to take a year to figure out what your students need, how to market it, the language that they use, to record testimonials. So I actually need to start recording testimonials. But in order to get testimonials, you have to get results. Depending on the type of course that you're selling, it might take time for them to get results. So I'm selling a course where I'm getting people to write ebooks, okay? Some people are going to do it really quickly. Other people are going to do it kind of slow. And that's just what I discovered. Even though I'm super fast at producing ebooks, like, I am a fast writer because of all the blogging, some people just get all in their heads, or they don't have time, or they've got kids, or they're traveling. And so their ability to produce a book is very different than what's going on with me. Currently, I'm still single. I don't have pets. Like, I have a lot of control over my time. that could change, and I hope it does in the future. But for right now, I have a lot of time to do this, and so I'm able to produce my books very quickly. But I couldn't force my students to move faster than what's natural for them. And so in order to even learn that, you have to go through a couple cycles of your course to discover a couple of things. The ideal price point for your product, what your product sweet spot is in terms of price point, marketing, information. You also have to be achieving results. So in order to sell my course, I also had to show that I was making money. So initially, that first burst of sales that I had, people were very content seeing that I was making $500 a month. They were like, that's awesome. That's more than what I'm making. But now I feel a bit more pressure, just both personally and professionally, to be making more than $500 a month, right? And so that was the other thing too, was I needed time to also grow my own book-related business and anything that was adjacent to it. If you're thinking about creating a product, you need to start now, because it will definitely take longer than you think to really refine what you're doing and understand how to market it and just what the life cycle of it is in terms of your students. Observation number two, most people way undermarket their products, including myself. Whether you're selling books, coaching courses, or connecting people with your favorite affiliates, you likely have to push harder to get people in front of your products than you expect. I have created the course Make Money with eBooks, the other books, my nonfiction books, my website. Like, I have a lot of things that I'm doing now, right? It's actually kind of smoothed out. So it sounds like a lot, but I've got a system, and batching is everything. But ultimately, I'm spending a lot more time marketing what I'm doing, because you have to get your products in front of people. You have to get your content in front of people. You have to get people to understand who you are and what you do. And most people way underestimate how much marketing they really need to do in order to make that happen. Observation number three, you can absolutely sell your products without Facebook or AMS, Amazon ads, but eventually there will be a point when you need to invest in those kinds of ads. There's just going to be a point where it just makes sense for you to do that. And you just have to prepare for that. Observation number four. Oh, and actually, before I go to observation number four, and mastering how to sell what you have without ads is actually a huge skill set that will serve you well. So this summer, I literally worked very hard on how to market what I was selling, or how to market books before being able to afford ads. Like, this was a big thing for me. I'm like, how can I do this? Like, how can I help people who aren't at the ad spend level yet? Like, maybe they're just like, you know what? This is where I'm starting from. This is all the time I have. This is all the money I have to invest in this project. This is the best that I can do. So I was like, if I'm at the best that I can do, and this is all I got, but I'm willing to work hard, how can I get people to purchase that product? And I was able to kind of crack the code on that. So now I'm making just shy of $2,000 a month just with the books. And that was without AMS ads. And that was a big deal for me, because I knew that once I turned the ads on, that could really change the amount of money that I would be earning or could be earning. Observation number four, creating my own products and having them sell, regardless of the price point, has been a win. It has completely changed my confidence level, how I talk about what I do, how I identify myself as an entrepreneur, how people identify me in terms of what I sell and the problem that I solve. Like, it's just changed how I feel about everything. I'm glad no one told me how hard it would be, but it's been awesome. Observation number five, my romance email list has taught me how to email my personal finance list without selling. Emailing your list can be really hard. Like, it has been a very intimidating thing for me to email my personal finance list. I'm not sure why. I think part of it was that I wasn't done with my personal finance journey. I think that was part of what was going on. And I really could never get the hang of creating conversational emails that connected me to the people on my personal finance list. Like it really felt hard. And maybe because of the subject of money, like maybe because I was talking about money and money related things and mindset, that I just was like way overthinking it. And I felt super uncomfortable. I just found out that I was afraid to email my list, and it was frustrating. And then I had a hard time growing the list. And that was frustrating because my book list grows like crazy. It has rabbit babies. My Colorado list was growing like crazy, but my personal finance related projects, that list just would not grow. And so not only was it not growing, but it was just, I couldn't get anyone on it, and I couldn't email. Like I just was stuck. And once I started emailing my romance list, like it was the weirdest thing. I wasn't afraid to email them. I emailed them Tuesdays and Thursdays. Like I literally email them twice a week. I'm not emailing them like, hey, buy my book. Da, 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 da. Like that's not the email at all. In fact, what I've learned is those kind of transactional emails are a huge turnoff. I know this as a reader of emails. And I receive, like everyone else, tons of emails. And having this list has really taught me what works, what doesn't, how to have a conversation with the people who are opening my list, who are indicating to me that they are interested. I have a 25 to 30% open rate for my newsletters every time. Like it's pretty good. What I've learned is this is why you build your list and this is why you talk to them. You can't treat your email list like dating. Like you can't just show up once a month for a booty call. Like sooner or later you get cut off. I've totally learned how to email my list so much better now because of my romance list. I am so good now at emailing my list and getting people to open and click on the things that I would like them to click on that I'm actually going to write a book about this. Heads up, I'm writing a book about this. Observation number 6, even the smallest amount of money that you earn from your projects will validate what you're doing to you as well as to the people around you. I think that I talked about how other people won't understand what you're doing until you actually make money. And it has to be like the amount, there's like an amount in their minds subconsciously where it validates what you're doing, right? So I joked recently about how when I first started tracking my income from my website, like my passive income, I made $11. Like that first month just happened to be $11. I'd made more before, but that first month it was a whopping $11. And my mom was like, wow, that's pretty bad. And so my mom, every month I would be like, yeah, I'm tracking my money and da da da. She's like, can you live on that? Like that's always her question. Can you live on that? And so it would frustrate me a little bit, motivate me. And so she would always ask, she still does, can you live on that? But now she's a lot more excited about the amounts because they're becoming a lot more substantial, right? And so am I. Making the money is going to be awesome, but then there's just a point where it's like, wow, that's kind of awesome. By the way, tracking the income growth is the key to everything. I don't think that I would have the success that I'm starting to see now if I hadn't started really tracking my earnings. If I weren't doing the monthly blog income reports, I don't know that I would have earned as much as I have been. I'm just going to keep it real. I think I would have floated around and stuff the way that I kind of do. Observation number 7. If the problem that you solve is clear to other people, you can position yourself as the go-to person for solving said problem in your online community. I've noticed that there are different things that do really well for people. And part of it is you're solving a problem in the community that you're in, or you're solving a problem for your community that you want to serve, right? So I've given this actually a lot of thought. Like in the FinCon community, I know exactly who I would go to for getting a virtual assistant. That's Kayla Sloan. She does 10K VA, right? For Facebook ads help. That would be either Monica Louie or I cannot believe I just forgot her name. Just a second. There's another person that I'm thinking of, and I'm about to say the wrong name, so let me think about this. Tila Holcomb also does Facebook ads, and she also teaches people how to invest. So I know that those two people do Facebook ads, right? I know that Eric Nassal does the accounting for bloggers. Like, I know this. So it needs to be very clear to whomever you're going to serve exactly what it is that you do that solves the problem that they're having. So it could be that you're helping people make more money. And how does that look? Like, how are you helping me make more money? So that is something to kind of consider. Like, how easy is it for people to know and identify who you are, what you do, and how you're of service to the community that you're in? Observation number 8 is kind of fun. Passive income is addictive. Oh, 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 I love it so much. And personally, I believe every single person should be building it into their business, whether they have a bricks and mortar or not, especially if they have a digital business. It worries me when they have a digital business that heavily relies on providing services to others. So many of you who've listened to the show know that I've had a love-hate relationship with freelance writing. And part of that was I really felt like I had no other options. Like, how do I put this? Like, now that I was working for myself, I was really at the behest of anyone who would give me work, right? Now that I'm building out all this other income from other places, I feel a lot more freedom to say, you know, even though it gets on my nerves, because it still kind of does. I have one client that I love, though. I literally have one client. And I love them. Like, they're so sweet. They're just the best. Like, I just love them. Anyway, the one client that I work for, like, I love them, but their needs might change. And so if their needs change, what's going to happen to me? They'll probably let me, you know, they'll not let me go, but they'll probably stop contracting with me. Because that's what businesses do. They may not always need you. And so that's part of the reason why I love passive income, because you're building in options into your business. So you can walk away from a bad client. You can walk away from a situation that no longer serves you well. Maybe you have a client that you love, but they're underpaying you, and now you pay yourself more because you're earning this other money. So for me, I think that it's so important to continue kind of working towards building passive income into your business. It takes a while to do. So that's why I always say, like, the moment to do that is now, because it's going to take a while to kind of crack the code that works best for you and your business. But I can't say this enough. You have to build passive income into your business. You just do. If you're in bricks and mortar, it could be that you send out a resource of some sort that people purchase that helps them with whatever else it is that you sell at your bricks and mortar. Like, it doesn't have to be an actual physical thing. It could be an item that supports the other stuff that you do. And it could be a small amount. It could be $5, but $5 can add up, as I know, looking at my coffee bill for the month. And then finally, observation number 9 is pay attention to your transferable skills. I love writing. Like I said, I actually really love writing. There's a reason why I love to write books, because I could just write them all the time. I could sit quietly, as much as I love to talk, I could just sit quietly in the mountains, on a patio, in the library, and just write a book. And there's no like limit to the number of books I can write. Like, I'll just sit there and do it. Like, that's part of the reason why I think I enjoy it so much, is I will work hard and I will get it done. Right? But it's a transferable skill. How did I even know that I could write books? Well, I wrote a blog for how many years? I wrote for other people freelancing for how many years? I wrote in my journal for how many years? I wrote projects for university and grad school. So I've developed that ability to write. Excuse me. But even if I hadn't, taking the action will help you to do taking the action of writing or whatever it is that you're trying to do. And actually producing the work will make you a better writer or whatever it is you're trying to do. Basically, taking action will improve whatever skill you're trying to build. And this is why I created Do It Ugly, because most people suck in the beginning, and that's totally fine. Like, if I look at my blogs from 2012 versus what I do now, it's hilarious. They are so bad. They are so bad. Like, it's just so bad. The formatting's bad. The writing's bad. Like, everything about it, they're horrible. However, you know what's good? I stuck to a project that I wasn't getting paid for. I was paying to blog after I switched to a self-hosted situation. Paid to go to conferences. It has not been a cheap thing to blog. And I did it pretty cheaply, right? But then there was a point where my skills improved. And that would be with anything. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, Michelle, you know, I'm gonna write this book, but I'm not a good writer. Well, you know what? You're never gonna be a good writer if you're afraid to produce a work and have some critique on it. It's just not gonna happen, because you have to actually produce the work in order to get the feedback in order to improve. So recently, I just launched a new romance book, actually last week or the week before. And I did that one kind of fast, and I got a meh review on it. And honestly, I should have gotten a meh review on it. I'm going to probably go back, rework it a little bit, but it's done. And that's more than what I can say for a lot of people. It is done. It may not be perfect, but it's done. And I can always improve it. And I think this is something that a lot of people struggle with. It's like perfectionism, or this is observation number 10, actually. Perfectionism will kill anything you're trying to do. Do not try to be perfect. Perfectionism doesn't, like, being perfect doesn't exist. There's no perfection in what you're trying to do. It's a constant process of learning what works, what doesn't work, what just building your skills, that kind of thing. So if you're afraid to even take the first step, you're just never, ever going to produce the results that you're hoping for. It's just never going to happen. And then you're going to have to get feedback. By the way, I do not read my reviews after a certain number of reviews. So basically, anything over 3.75 and above, I'm fine with. I know people are like, I've got to get 5 stars for everything. I'm like, you're insane. Honestly, 3.75 and above, and we're good. Right now, all of my books average. Actually, the first book that's made me the most money is 3.75. All the other ones are 4. And this new one, we'll see what happens with that one. I think it's going to be 3.75 or 4. That's fine. I've got other stuff I can do. I've got nonfiction books to create. I've got content to help people. So I have other things that I need to be producing. Perfection doesn't get things done. So that is today's episode. My romance book has really changed my business. It's really changed how I think about what I can do. It's really changed my income in terms of what I've been bold about creating, in terms of the course, in terms of the nonfiction books, the sessions that I've pitched at conferences. I did a session with Jaleesa Harrison at Podcast Movement. It was amazing. Like, we had such a great time, except for when the fire alarm went off. And it was very, very, very well received. But I never would have pitched the type of workshop that I did if I hadn't received the kind of results that I had with these other endeavors. Do you see what I'm saying? So because I did that random ass book, pardon my French, it changed the way I even position myself in the personal finance community. So I say all of this, I record this show to basically encourage you to take risks, to try, to put yourself out there, to be bold, and see what happens. I hope you're having a great day. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you like this show, make sure to leave a review. You can do that in the show notes. When you go to the show notes, you will also see the resource, Do It Ugly, as well as 3 things you need to know about self-publishing. Grab those. And I hope to see you at Money on the Mountain here in Denver. Get your tickets, and I hope you're having a beautiful day. Take care. Bye.